Well, today is the last Sunday of Epiphany, and Lent begins this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. So today we sing our last Alleluias for a while, and we ponder the story of Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus takes his inner circle with him to a high mountain apart from the crowds. Here he prays, and here he is revealed. Jesus shows Peter, James, and John his true nature, his inner being. In the translation, the Message, which I like to use sometimes, it says that Jesus was transfigured from the inside out. The light that shines from Jesus is not coming from the outside. It is coming from deep within him. Jesus' divine nature shines clearly to his disciples for the first time. And they are awed and terrified. Then Moses and Elijah appear, and Jesus begins to speak with them. If that were not enough glory, a cloud appears, suddenly overshadowing them. The Greek word used here for overshadow is also used when the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and bear a son. This is a complete whole body experience of the Spirit. The disciples are overshadowed by the cloud of God's revelation. They are not ready for it. Who would be? They are overwhelmed. Their breath is taken away. They are brought to their knees. It is all too much to take in. And Peter, always impetuous Peter, puts his foot in his mouth, basically, and offers to build a monument. He offers to build three shrines, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. This impulse we all have sometimes to take a holy moment and try to hold on to it, try to capture it forever, is a deeply human impulse. But of course, as soon as we try to do that, as soon as we try to grasp or control it, we've completely lost the essence of it. So it was with Peter. For many years, I found this story, the Transfiguration, difficult to relate to. For many years, the Transfiguration was one of my least favorite texts to preach. It seemed to be so far removed from most of our experience as to be almost irrelevant. There they are, only three of the disciples up on the mountain having a transcendent experience of God, and then they come down and they don't tell anyone about it. But what if the Transfiguration, the importance of it is that it is a vision of ultimate reality. And what if this vision is a gift from God that helps sustain Jesus and those three disciples through the trials that lay ahead? Peter, John, and James saw Jesus as he truly was for the first time and maybe the only time before the resurrection. They saw his essence, his pure divinity, as he was praying. As he prayed, his entire being was in union with God. To the human eye, this union was a shining, pure light. Jesus' entire being was shining, Luke tells us, so brightly that it shone right through his clothes. And his disciples were completely overwhelmed, awed, even terrified at the power of this vision. I wonder if they even remembered the words that came out of the cloud afterwards. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. But as suddenly as it came, the cloud was gone. Moses and Elijah, the cloud of God, gone. Only Jesus remained, now no longer shining that divine radiance. He looked again as they had always known him. And Luke tells us that they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Now, I can't help but wonder that how much they might have tried to keep this a secret. How much of what they had experienced would still be visible on their faces, like it was with Moses when they returned to the rest of the disciples. I can't imagine they could have completely hidden what had just happened. Jesus had revealed his true nature, grounded in God, radiating light and love into the world. But the disciples could not yet fathom, would not fathom until after the resurrection, was that Jesus became flesh to show us all our true nature. Jesus came to show us that we are all grounded in God. Or to use another metaphor, we are all swimming in the ocean of God. We live and move and have our being in God. The problem is that we just don't realize it most of the time. Much of the time, we live as if we were completely separate from God and from other people. We may feel a great longing and not recognize it as a longing for God. We may try to fill that great longing with things, experiences, relationships, sometimes alcohol or drugs. But none of those things will ever satisfy the great longing within us, because that longing comes from God and can only be satisfied by God. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless and can only rest in thee. Meister Eckhart, the great medieval mystic, wrote about the inner and the outer world. He said, when we stand within the world, God appears as totally transcendent and other. When we stand within God, however, it is the world which appears as other, a pale and imperfect reflection of the dazzling and brilliant truth in which we are living and making our home. When we are grounded in God, we ourselves are transfigured. When we live out of this place, we are changed. We are empowered for ministry. When we know ourselves to be grounded in God, we too can radiate God's love and compassion outward to this broken world. The transfiguration was a vision of ultimate reality. Peter wanted to hold on to this vision, stay on the mountain, continue in the blessing they had received. But of course, that was not what happened. Jesus didn't stay on the mountaintop. Instead, he walked through the valley of death into Jerusalem and towards the cross.
Amen.